I'm Richard Dugan, your host. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon here on the Central Coast. This is for us here in Santa Barbara. This is Solstice Saturday. It's Solstice weekend. Some folks turn it into a week-long event, and I predict, I'm no psychic, but I predict it'll turn into a month-long celebration somewhere down the road. Somebody will just say, hey, let's just take the whole month of June and just go nuts. They had a lot of fun on our local State Street with Solstice. The theme was, I was thinking of a phrase to use, and I walked through the jungles of Santa Barbara today as as the parade wound its way northward up, sort of northward, up State Street here in Santa Barbara. Some wild costumes and floats and just everybody having a great time, and now they're partying at the parks just north of us here and just enjoying themselves to the hilt. And so I certainly hope that everybody does so safely and be patient. You know, the traffic ain't the best. I'm just thinking about getting out of the parking lot myself and trying to wend my way away from this area. And it's like, hey, it'll take a few minutes and it's okay. Everything is fun. It's sunshine came out. It's funny. Every year, it seems like the fog rolls in, and then we get the burn off. By noon, it's gone. We've got sunny skies and a great afternoon for a solstice parade, and how appropriate in that regard. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. here on Tell Me Your Story. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com radio shows page. We encourage you to check us out, listen to us, go to the archives, share them with your friends, and check out our guests and their websites as well, because they have some great information for you. And we also encourage you to check out our guest list of folks that are coming up in the coming weeks and months. I'm very excited about many of the guests that we have coming up, and I'm not going to tell you about them. I'm going to have you go to our guest page, our schedules page. Today is no exception. A return guest who has been on our program many times in the past almost 4 years, David Hawthorne, if you can believe that. 4 years. We've almost been on the air 4 years in Santa Barbara with this program. And you were actually my first guest on this program.
Wow.
And it's good to have you here. You're going to be taking phone calls today from our listeners, whether you're in the Central Coast area, Santa Barbara, Thousand Oaks, Summerlin, Carpinteria, up and down the Central Coast, or you're listening on the internet. There's a phone number for you. The local number is 805-564-1290, 805-564-1290. If you're listening live on the internet, we do stream, as I said before, live at richarddugan.com. You can call us at 866-564-1290. That's 866-564-1290. And it seems as though, David, that a lot has happened. And the way that you work with the Vedic astrology, you create, as we've discussed before, a roadmap of sorts that lays out the conditions that we may come across in our journey through life. And all you're saying is, look, between mile markers 63 and 92, you're going to have rain. And between mile markers 206 and 407, you're going to have snow. Everywhere else, you might have sunshine. Those kinds of things don't really change, do they? They pretty much stay set as you progress forward in life. In other words, if I have a reading from you today and I have a reading from you in 10 years, that reading is pretty much going to be the same for, say, the next 15, that a 15-year period, let's say. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so. What I say is that the Vedic astrology horoscope is the DNA or the genetic code. And so I do, like when I do a reading for somebody, I say it's good to listen to that reading again every year as a reminder of who you are and where you are. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the variables are, if we know where we are, we can manage things better. For example, what I tell people is if you're driving on a dangerous, curvy road on a cliff and you're not aware of it, then you can have trouble. But if you're aware of it and you slow down, then you can manage the trip a lot better.
Well, it seems to me like it's overall good advice. Again, I went back looking into my archives going before this program started, and I think we have been in contact and communicating and dialoguing for a good 10 years or more, maybe even longer than that. That's kind of neat. And we take a look at some of the things that you have said in the readings that you've given both I and Amrita, and how appropriate and accurate they were in as far as the conditions. You never tell us exactly what's going to happen. That's not what Vedic astrology is about, is it?
Well, we can see the general trends. We can see the guidelines. We know the hands on the clock. Again, the main thing about Vedic astrology is that this was a gift given to us, to civilization, to society, by these ancient rishis of India, these seers, these sages that understood that the planets bestow on living beings effects due to their karmas, and that we're born at a specific time and date and place to manifest that karma. In fact, the word horoscope actually means the hour and the observed. So one who observes the time of a person's birth is studying the horoscope. But that horoscope is laid out so we can see the planets, the houses, the signs, and the planetary periods. And it's all very logical. Sun is father, moon is mother, Jupiter is husband, Venus is wife. So we want to understand how these planets are operating. For example, if somebody has a strong, well-placed sun in their chart, then they are going to have probably a lot of very good support from their own father. He'll be strong, he'll be powerful, he'll be helpful, he can support them, he can give them good guidance. And this also means that the other significations for sun, including the heart, digestion, authority figures, these also will be positive for that person. However, if at the time of birth sun is afflicted or debilitated or badly placed, then this person may not get the support from their father. He may leave or have his own personal problems. So now, that's part of it. So On the one hand, yes, we can see the truth of how the planets are operating in the chart. And then we also have what is called the timing of events. This is what I love about Vedic astrology. We can see the past, the present, and future general trends depending on what planet is operating at any given time. So we can see how the planets are operating. We can even see when they are operating. This explains why a person can rise high in life and then fall later, like Richard Nixon or O.J. Simpson, or somebody can spend time in prison and then later rise to a high position, such as Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela. So a person can go up or down according to the hands on the clock. Now, if that's all there was to astrology, I wouldn't even be an astrologer, because it would be depressing to tell everybody that, oh, you have this problem and this problem and this problem. We all have problems. Nobody has a perfect chart. Everybody has some weakness somewhere in the chart. But what I do is to help a person understand how to fix their chart. In other words, I do planetary astral remedies, or allow the person to know what would work for their chart. For example, simple things like charities, food, clothing, shelter, donations for afflicted persons, the elderly, the poor and the needy, children, students, or animals. That's actually a remedy for a chart. But we were given other remedies such as color therapy, gemstone therapy, mystical numbers. I mean, there are other ways to strengthen these planets so we can have actually better results. Now, this is where we can have a major impact in our lives. For example, what I say to my clients is that if we are not aware of our karma, if we are not aware of how the planets are operating and when they are operating and what you can do to fix your own chart, then yes, you will meet with the destiny in the chart. And you can have the same problems over and over and over again. This is why people have multiple marriages, multiple health problems, relationship problems, financial problems, mental tension. It's because nobody ever fixed their chart. So I believe the value of this knowledge is that if we fix our charts, then we come out of those difficulties. Now, I'm 65 years old and didn't know about this knowledge, the remedies, I've been studying Vedic astrology for 25 years. Didn't know about the remedies until about 13, 14 years ago. And started doing them for my own chart, and I've noticed that the last 10 to 12 years, best 10 to 12 years of my life, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big believer that we can help improve the quality of life by having this knowledge. So if we have a weak sun, and we know we're not getting support from our father figures and from authority figures, and we've got problems with our digestion and problems with our heart, well, if we're not aware of it, then we're going to have those problems. But if we start doing the remedies for the sun, then we can have much, much better results.
Another aspect of this, and you used some very good examples, and I'd like for you to share those with us, of using Vedic astrology as a tool in the best sense of that word, is you're able to counsel people on the best time to take action throughout their lives, whether it be a wedding or starting a business, those types of things, buying a house, especially major transition events in our lives. Explain a little bit about that.
Correct. This is true. What we do is, when we understand that there is actually a horoscope for every moment of the day. For example, right now as we are speaking, if a child is born, there would be a horoscope for that child. Well, there's also a horoscope when you sign a contract. There's a horoscope when you take a wedding vow. There's a horoscope when you launch a space shuttle. Now, if we do these things, and most people do, arbitrarily, we're not aware of the horoscope, we're not aware of this knowledge, so we just do these things. Well, if that horoscope is strong, then yes, you've got a good chance for those things to work out, and maybe you have a successful business or a successful marriage. But if we happen to accidentally get married at the wrong time, in terms of, let's say, you know, Venus representing wife is debilitated and Jupiter representing husband is afflicted by some malefic influence, then chances are that that's not going to work out. The marriage is not going to work out, and the business goes bankrupt, and the space shuttle blows up. So there is something called the Muhurta, or a chart for every moment of the day, and what we want to do is elect a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will call me and say, you know, we're going to get married next year. When's a good time? Or I'd like to start a new business. When's a good time? And so I simply go through the charts, the horoscopes, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, until I find a very good, pure chart. And quite frankly, I've seen some very good results with these kind of situations. For example, I had a client that was trying to sell property back east. They had a lot of property. They could not sell it for years, literally years, 10, 15 years they couldn't sell it. And I said, well, let's list it, let's take it off the marketplace, and then relist it at a very auspicious chart.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took it off the marketplace. We waited a couple of months. Then I found a great time, and they relisted it and sold it within maybe a month. I mean, millions of dollars. They were very, very happy with that result. So coincidence? Maybe, but I don't think so. I think we can use this knowledge for so many things. We can use it for health, wealth, wisdom, marriage, and compatibility. That's another great one. I tell people, you know, don't get involved intimately with anyone until you've had their chart looked at, because people are like book covers. There's a lot of nice-looking book covers out there. But you get to chapter 3 or 5 or 10, and you go, oh, my God, what have I done? Who am I with?
This is a murder mystery.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at all the look. That's a perfect example. Look how many Ted Bundy. Look at how many nice-looking people are really behind everything, not such nice. You know, this head of this IMF, you know, you know, all these people you think are fine, but inside there's something else going on. Now, I'm grateful that my 24-year-old daughter is studying Vedic astrology with me. She's becoming quite a good astrologer in her own right. But she can look at any man's chart right now, at any time, at a glance. And if she sees that, this man's Venus, which represents wife, is afflicted, debilitated, badly placed, uh-oh, his wife is seriously going to suffer. So then she's got a choice. She says, okay, you know, if it's early on in a relationship, then she just goes back to the guy and she says, you know what, let's be friends. But mm-hmm. I don't think I want to have an intimate relation. I don't think we should develop anything beyond that. Yeah. Or she comes to me and she says, Dad, I'm really in love with this guy. What are the remedies? Now, if he is willing to do remedies for his chart, then I think they have a much better chance of this working. Otherwise, it's not good.
Yeah. Now, you've also said that we, in this country specifically, we elect specifically our presidents at the wrong time of the year.
Yes, I said that. Because this, in Vedic astrology, now this is slightly different from tropical zodiac. In other words, Western astrologers are using the tropical zodiac, which is all well and good. The reason I don't use that system is because the tropical zodiac is based on a fixed position of the stars more than 2,000 years ago. It does not scientifically take into consideration the wobble of the Earth's axis or what is known as precession of the equinox. So basically it's 23 degrees off. So if you take your Western chart, subtract 23 degrees, you arrive at your Vedic astrology chart. For example, right now, if you ask a Western astrologer, where is the sun? The astrologer would say, oh, sun's in Cancer. But if you subtract 23 degrees, you'll find that the sun is actually at 9 degrees Gemini as we speak today. Mm-hmm. Now, in other words, on the day of your birth, if you ask a Western astrologer, you're going to get one answer. But if you ask a scientist, an astronomer, to calculate the position of the planets, where they are today, not where they were 2,000 years ago, you're going to get a different answer. So now what I'm saying is that every year from the middle of October to middle of November, sun is always in Vedic astrology in Libra. And sun is government. And Libra is sun's sign of debilitation. It's the weakest position possible. So I think it's the one month that we should not have an election. We should have an election when sun is strong or well-placed. So, and a couple of times when the Al Gore-George Bush date, on that particular day, not only was sun debilitated, but it was afflicted by Rahu, which is a northern node of the moon, which can cause an eclipse. And so it was like, during the day, they said, okay, Al Gore won, no George Bush won, no Al Gore won, no George Bush won, no Al Gore won. Wait a minute, who won? Nope, we don't know who won. And then it all went up in smoke. It was a big eclipse, and it took weeks, you know, before the Supreme Court stepped in, you know. So the point is, yes, when the sun representing government is debilitated, man, there's a lot of vulnerability there. So we have lots of change and vulnerability every year. And speaking of the sun, I mean, again, anytime somebody's ready for a reading, I'll be happy to do it.
And let me give that number, the number's out, 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Give us a call here. That's 866-564-1290 or 805-564-1290. Go ahead and continue.
Okay, thank you. What I really enjoy doing is studying and watching the chart for the United States. And, of course, you can do a chart for anything. I mean, I did a chart for the moment that there was a tsunami in Japan. And, you know, I have Japan's chart. There's several countries where I have their chart, India, Japan, USA, a few others. It does take some time and work to what we call rectify and get the exact time of birth for a country. Mm-hmm. But it can be done. And I have a chart for USA. We are currently United States for the last 2 years. And 4 months has been running a Saturn sub-period. And the good news is that next April 2012, running for 3 years, the chart for USA goes into Mercury, which is a much better situation for the entire country. So, in fact, Mercury rules entrepreneurial success, and Mercury's in the house of partnerships with the royal sun. It's a much, much better situation because right now we're in trouble. Right now, we've been in Saturn for 2 years and 4 months, and Saturn, for the chart for USA, is the most malefic planet. and it rules the eighth house of setbacks, delays, obstructions, disappointments, vulnerability, transformations, even accidents, and death-like experiences. By the way, as we're speaking right now, I've been telling, in my weekly column, I've been telling people to be very careful the next 5, 6, 7, 10 days because of this transit right now. Venus, representing women, and Venus representing transportation, is going over the north and south nodes of the moon, Rahu and Ketu, which is an eclipse. And so my last week's column, last Wednesday, I had a column that came out. It said, be careful with all modes of transportation. And I think right there in Southern California, wasn't there a big train wreck?
Yeah.
Got hit by a semi-tractor trailer.
Yeah,
that was.
That's right.
Guy just blasted right into it.
Yeah.
So one of my clients sent me a note this morning to remind me of that prediction. But we are in the Saturn sub-period as a country. And this Saturn is afflicting Sun, which is the president and leadership and wealth and status. So there's been a lot of obstructions, delays, setbacks, vulnerability for the last 2 years and 4 months. So this is going to change in a positive way next April. But in the meantime, the country's in a little bit of a problem.
And we're going to take a break here in just a couple of moments, and I'm going to I have some other questions for you on the other side of our segment with Beth McDonald. But you also have a book called Astrology for Life, How to Become Your Own Vedic Astrologer. This is something that you have been teaching. You have, I don't know if you've, do you have these this class now on DVD or is it still on video?
No, they're all in DVDs now. Yes, okay. I have converted everything, upgraded things.
And you can go to astroview.com to check out the book, the classes, the remedies. You even have a medallion, if you will. I think the proper term is a kavach, if that's correct, the correct pronunciation.
Kavach means a protective shield. So it's a little silver medallion. I call them cosmic dog tags. You put it on, leave it on, and forget about it.
Well, I've been, and a matter of fact, I purchased one from you with these numbers etched on both sides, and they relate to my astrological sign.
Right.
And chart.
Right.
Since, and I believe, and that's another thing, is you instructed me to not to put it on immediately when I got it, but to put it on a specific date during a specific time frame. For the same reasons as you've already described in terms of people coming to you for different things, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
I was just, as we were talking, I keep I got a record of everything in my computer, and I thought, well, let's just see if, here it is, Richard Dugan, October 8th, 2007. At 1:49 p.m. to 1:58 p.m., promptly in the Santa Barbara area.
Okay, that's right. And so I did that. Now, if one and I'm getting into some particulars here that you know are relevant, but maybe it's not that big of a deal. If you feel the need, you have to take it off when you want to shower. I mean, is there a real problem with that, or I mean, how long?
No. Yeah. But my experience is that I call them cosmic dog tags.
Yeah.
You put it on, leave it on. You can sleep with it, swim with it, shower with it, because it does have a cumulative effect over time.
Right.
I've had mine for 14 years.
Yeah.
And it just amazes me every single year of the protection I get. It does not stop karma from coming at you.
That's right.
Karma will always come. But it no longer hits me 80%, 90%, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
The karma is more like 30%, 20%, 10%.
Well, I remember.
More manageable.
And I remember you told me after about 18 months, and this is now going back to 2006, October, when I first put it on, that after within or near the end of that first 18 months, I would start to experience specifically a greater sense of confidence. I remember that. And I feel as though even more so in the last 18 months, I have felt much more so. And that's more because I'm getting into my own realm. I'm feeling more comfortable in my own skin in terms of what I'm doing, whether it's here or the other work that I do with other people. And it just adds to the personality, adds to the character and so forth of anybody who's doing who may be wearing this remedy or any other for that matter. We'll talk more about that when we come back. I'm talking with David Hawthorne, our Vedic astrologer. We are waiting your phone calls at 866-564-1290, 866-564-1290, or you can call us here on the Central Coast, 805-564-1290. We're going to continue talking with David, but we're going to take a short break, come back to talk with Beth McDonald for a couple of minutes, our AAA editor. Don't go away.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health quick tip for weight loss. Make a commitment today to make good health and body fitness a priority in your life. Health is a priceless gift and is wealth. We are committed to enhancing your health. Start the day right and eat breakfast. Your mom was right. A good, healthy breakfast gets your metabolism kicked off for the day. Eating breakfast is good for weight loss. In fact, people who eat breakfast are more likely to maintain a healthy weight. People falsely believe that skipping breakfast is a strategy for losing weight, but that's not true. The body needs to be refueled a few times each day, starting with breakfast. When you skip breakfast, you are more likely to become tired because your brain and body run low on fuel. Studies have shown that children who eat breakfast actually do better in school. Of course, the same logic applies to adults, since you both feel better and perform better at work.
Making a healthy breakfast, what should you eat? Ideally, a healthy breakfast should contain both protein and fiber. Protein can come from eggs or beans. Fiber can be found in whole grains, vegetables, and fruits. A good example of a healthy breakfast might be something simple, like a hard-boiled egg, an apple, and a bowl of oatmeal with a little cinnamon, or a whole grain cereal made with water. Avoid sugary cereals, syrups, pastries, and white breads because they are digested quickly, raise your blood sugar, cause weight gain, and will leave you feeling hungry and tired in a couple of hours, whereas protein and fiber satisfy your hunger and will keep you feeling full until lunchtime. Be good to yourself and know that eating a healthy breakfast is the best way to start off your day.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Yes, indeed. Understanding is part of the process. Understanding where we are today as to how we got here, whether it's using your astrological chart or even looking up at the stars. I have a question for David that we'll ask in the next segment regarding the position of the stars. I have to say, Beth McDonald, our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, that is where I get the AAA, folks. By the way, you sent me an email, and at the beginning of the email, it gave me an idea for an introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, our AAA editor is Henry Kissinger. But you don't sound like Henry Kissinger now.
No, I'm definitely doing better. I had a little nap. I've been struggling with a cold, and people have been making fun of my voice for days.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Mr. Nixon,
yes.
So, today, we're celebrating solstice today, but of course, summer solstice actually took place on the 21st, which was Tuesday past. And we've been in a cycle of eclipses. Not all of them we've been able to see for various reasons, whether it be the marine layer or just because this part of the Earth doesn't see them. But those eclipses seem to elicit great interest, whether you're an astronomer or not.
Right.
Somehow people, they get drawn into that whole aspect of it. There's some mystical aspect to eclipses, Beth.
Yes. Now, in the past, because people were not as aware of them, sometimes you could go a whole lifetime and not witness one in your particular place where you lived. You know, it was seen to be a very, very dark, very bad omen. And for me now, I like David, I love astrologers like you who focus on the empowerment of things. And the thing I try to emphasize is just that, you know, the eclipses are a time when something is revealed, when more is revealed. And, you know, what can make it difficult is that often, you know, the thing that is revealed is something we were deliberately trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So to just try and make peace with what your world is showing you, and make the best of it, especially in the, you know, when it's around the solstice like now, which is such a community time. You know, it's a time of people, you know, Gemini rules neighbors and neighborhoods and siblings and cousins and that sort of a thing. And in more agrarian societies this time of year, we had to start working together to bring in the harvest, mm-hmm. in the Northern Hemisphere at least. And so it doesn't have to be an ugly time. You know, you have control. It is what you make it.
And I know that a lot of people are most interested, especially in the moon, because it's the right. one thing that we see in the sky aside from the sun. But we also are rather transfixed that late at night. As a matter of fact, Amrita and I were out walking last night in the dead of night, probably around 10 or 11 o'clock. And I just happened to look up. Now, where we live, I can see the stars unbelievably. I mean, we're at 2,200 feet.
Right.
So it's just spectacular up there, but I don't know what in the heck what is. But I do know where Venus is, and I've seen, you know, that very bright, we call it a star. It's a planet, but nonetheless.
Right.
But we all are enamored by what we see in the sky. And is it something that somebody has created as far as the attributes of these celestial bodies that gives it the power that it does? I don't want to say over us, but in the context of our thinking about it in the way that we do.
I think it's something that's evolved over time, and perhaps David can also speak to this in later in the segment. Because there are some real similarities between the Vedic and the Western astrology in terms of the interpretations of some of the planets.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's said to just be something that has evolved over time and is still evolving. Different planets are said to rule different archetypes and different aspects of our lives. And if you play around with anything long enough, you'll find patterns.
I have to wonder, though, what would happen, whether it be Vedic or Western, if one of the planets was taken out by a comet or something, or was knocked out of its normal orbit, or even if Earth were. I mean, that's one of the things that does perplex me, and I would have to talk to an astronomer about how is it that if everything's in motion in the universe, that all of these constellations are always in basically the same place and in the same forms and have been for the last 1,000, 2,000 years, if everything's in motion. How can the three stars that make up Orion's belt still be in that position today after over 2,000 years? That doesn't make any sense if everything's in motion.
That would be an ideal panel discussion.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of these days we'll do that. Maybe we'll open up the forum for that
bigger.
One of these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
The main focus we want to look at for this coming week is?
Well, it's working together. Well, actually, the biggest piece for me is the solstice represents your fullest expression. This is often a time when we reconnect with the shining star at the core of our own souls. And so if you had to put a pinpoint focus anywhere, I would say focus on your own strengths and assets. And then the secondary focus is how you utilize those to serve your family and community.
And enjoy what you see in the sky.
Yep. That
Beth
too.
McDonald of BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, thank you much. And we will talk to you next Saturday.
Awesome.
All right. Take care of yourself.
You too. Thank
right.
you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay where you are.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
It's your opportunity to get to know the people who are keeping our kids off the streets and on the fields, courts, and in the pools. Hello, I'm Erica Salda, inviting you to join me and my guests for the Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 a.m., when we'll go behind the scenes with local students, athletes, coaches, parents, volunteers, and other teen sports supporters, brought to you by ePro Insurance Agency, right here at AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press Radio Station.
Every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time and streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. This is Tell Me Your Story. I am your host, and I'm with David Hawthorne, my guest, who is the author of Astrology for Life, How to Become Your Own Vedic Astrologer. I happen to have my copy, which I half expect is at least 10 years old, David, from the time that you and I first became acquainted back in either the late 90s or early part of the 21st century. This Vedic astrology goes back how many thousands of years?
Well, they've noted it back at least 5,000 years. So it's basically, it was done in Sanskrit, which is the mother of all language, mm-hmm. and all the ancient kings and queens and royal persons of India always had an astrologer in their court. Hmm. And they would advise them on the proper gemstones, and they would wear them on their crowns and pendants and rings, because the planet, the gemstones that people wear, most people don't realize this. You know, they wear a diamond, or they wear a ruby, or they wear something because they like it, or they think it's good for them, or it's their birthstone or something. But the reality is, these gemstones do carry the planetary energy into the physiology. And so if you wear the proper gemstones, they can actually help with health, with courage, wisdom, compassion, finances, even longevity of life. So, but there are certain gemstones you should not wear. I see mm-hmm. sometimes would come in, somebody be wearing a diamond, and she should not wear a diamond for her chart.
So just,
or vice versa.
So just as there are gemstones that can help to, the word is not protect, but help to minimize malefic effects, if you will, there are gemstones that will actually enhance or accentuate them.
Well, the point is that the proper gemstones for your benefic planets will strengthen those benefic planets, so they have a little more power, a little more capability to protect and promote their own significations.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, if you're wearing the wrong gemstone, it can actually bring some of that adverse effect to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it.
And we have our own astrologer right here in our own court, David Hawthorne, and he is here to take your calls at 805-564-1290 or 866-564-1290 if you are listening live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And again, the number is 805-564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Now, when I was talking with Beth earlier about the positions of the stars, and you kind of make this point in terms of the difference between Western and Vedic astrology as far as the position of the stars 2,000 years ago versus doing a chart based upon the stars where they are right now. What happens, what will happen to Vedic astrology if the stars move? And I don't mean move in the fluid manner and pattern in which they've been doing for as long as they've been. What if Mercury or Pluto or Saturn are knocked off of their orbit or wiped out by a comet hurtling through the solar system? Or if Earth suddenly goes cattywampus on its axis and the poles are now one in the middle of the Pacific and the other somewhere in the middle of Africa? What happens in those instances, or does Vedic astrology address that?
Well, those are actually, it's a big question. And first off, if something happens elsewhere, like some outer planet or something, then maybe the impact won't be so great on Earth, as opposed to if Earth starts to spin or something. Yeah, then we got a serious problem, and I don't think anybody's going to be looking for an astrologer during that time.
They're going to be looking for a hole in the ground.
People, yeah. So I'm not an astronomer. Mm-hmm. So that stuff's beyond my scope.
Okay.
I just hope that for all of our sakes that we don't have any problem. But I think the universe has been moving in a very orderly fashion for billions of years. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be overly concerned about it right now.
Yeah. Now, you were asked a question some time ago by one of our listeners, and it was a very good question, and I was very, very impressed by the way in which you responded to that question. And I'm glad that the gentleman asked the question, which is, how does this work? And how do you know that it works? And the answer that you gave is, or that you would give today is?
How do I know what works? You mean astrology?
The Vedic astrology.
Oh, wow. Let me think on that one again. So, Vedic astrology, how do I know it works? I don't know that I can answer that. Other than my own personal experience,
mm-hmm.
When I look at my own life and look at how the various planets were operating, then I have, it validates. And I think the other thing is just simply, from the predictive level. It's like I've had the ability to say, okay, you're in a sun period. And I told a woman called me once and I said, you're in this great sun period and it's in the house of gains. It's connected with government. I think you're going to do well and there could be some government or political situation for you. And she kind of scratched her head. And then she called me back 3 months later and said that the governor of the state of Iowa, appointed her to run this new committee or this new department or something, and she was like, was very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm what I'm getting at is that it just works in terms of our experience.
Right. Now you have said on many occasions that Vedic astrology is scientific.
Now that what I'm saying by that is that it's based on mathematics.
Right.
It's based on the exact time of birth, the mm-hmm. place of birth, the date of birth, and you have to run these computer calculations,
mm-hmm.
and then it produces a horoscope. So the horoscope itself is a mathematical equation. Then the interpretation of the horoscope is an art. So you have it's a blend of art and science.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's mathematics or science based on how the horoscope is built, but the interpretation is done by, having the knowledge of the planets.
Right. And that there is no intuition that is used in the process.
Well, some astrologers might use an intuition. I don't use intuition. I just go by the facts in the chart.
Okay.
It's always, it's very, like I said, right now, transit Venus is going over Rahu and Ketu, so we're going to, I guarantee, transit Venus right now is about 25, 26 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Rahu and Ketu are about 29 degrees. That means the next 3 days, 3, 4, 5 days, Venus is going to go over Rahu and Ketu, and I'll guarantee we're going to hear something in the news about some major woman, some well-known woman, could be a celebrity, it could be a politician, but some major eclipse is going to take place. It's usually when this happens, and it happens every year,
mm-hmm.
that's when we'll lose somebody well-known.
Hmm, interesting.
But also Venus rules transportation, and it rules the arts, rules luxuries, romance. So these things are all going to be, and people could have trouble with their kidneys, the pancreas, reproductive organs. The astrology also deals with health issues. And, I've had predictions. I had a guy in my office one day, and he was a alternative healthcare practitioner and quite a specimen of health, as it were. And I'm sitting here looking at his chart, and I said, you got to watch out for your heart. You got a potential for a heart attack or stroke. And he told me later that when I said that, he was sitting across from me, and he quietly said to himself, this guy's a moron, because... I am in absolute perfect health. I'm a a vegetarian. I do yoga. I'm a healthcare practitioner. I run. I do all these things to take care of my health. I have no heart disease in my family. You know, there's not going to be a problem. Well, 3 years later, he called me from a hospital, from the bed, you know. He had just suffered a heart attack. And he said, "What was it you were trying to tell me 3 years ago?"
And I hate when that happens.
He goes, "I apologize, and you know, and I need to get another session with you, and this time I'll take you seriously."
Yeah.
So wow. I'm just amazed. What happened, I think I've told you personally in the past about this, but mm-hmm. the reason I got attracted to it, number one, maybe 35 years ago, I had a Western astrology reading, and I was impressed. I thought, gosh, this is good information. It's relevant. It sounds like it works to me. And so I remember studying like Linda Goodman's Sun Signs and a few Western astrology books. But, you know, I thought, oh, this is too complicated to learn, so I walked away from it. Then 25 years ago, I had a Vedic astrology reading, and the astrologer, I'm sitting right next to him by a table, and he's looking at my chart, and which is just mathematical numbers on a piece of paper. And he looks at me and he says, "David, I got a question for you. When you were born, did your mother die, or did she just leave?" Well, I fell off my chair. I was so shocked, because the reality was, on the day I was born, my mother said to the nurse, "I already have two children. I'm divorced. I can't afford a third. I'm giving him up for adoption. Don't let me see him."
Wow.
So I thought, my God, you know. So I walked away from that reading thinking, this is very real data. This is very important information. And I would like to know better for myself why I am the way I am, and what about my wife, and what about my children, what about my business. So I began to study just as a hobby. I just wanted to know this. But each year as I studied, I got deeper into it until I finally got my master's degree and a professorship in Vedic astrology. And the predictions are just phenomenal. Why it works, I don't know.
it just does.
But it does, you know. So it's just, and again, I tell people, you know, some people say, well, I don't believe in astrology. And I say, fine, you're entitled to your non-belief. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I was on a radio show, and some radio show host said to me, "Well, David, you know, what do you think the Bible says about astrology?" And I said, "Well, I'm not really sure, but it does seem to me that the three wise men were following a star." I think the three wise men were astrologers.
Yeah.
So that's just my personal take, but I'm not here to defend it. If people don't want to listen to it, they don't want to use it, perfectly fine.
That's right.
But I'm here to support those that have an interest in, you know, what happens, people don't go to see an astrologer because they just hit the lottery. People go to see an astrologer because they're having some health issues, they're having some financial issues, they're having some relationship problems, and nobody else was able to solve those issues. So, you know, we're usually the last resource, but that's okay. I don't mind. But there, you know, the other thing about this, I remember getting an email a number of years ago from a gentleman, and he said, "David, I live in India. I happen to be a Vedic astrologer myself. I'm concerned about my health, and I'd like you to look at my chart and tell me about my health." So he gives me his birth data. Now, I'm thinking, wow, this guy is just testing me. He wants to see whether I'm a decent astrologer or not. And guess what? I don't have a problem with the test, and I'll be happy to respond. So I've never spoken to him, never had a picture of him. I don't know anything about him at all other than his birth data. So I sat down and typed up an email, sent it back to him, and said, "This is my interpretation of your health." And I got an email back from him that he said, "David, you are 100% correct about my health." And then I was thinking later, can you imagine sending an email to a physician? "Here's my birth data. Tell me about my health." Hmm. Well, the doctor's going to say, "No, I'm sorry. I can't tell you about your health. I need your blood. I need your x-rays. I need your family history. I need to take your pulse. I need to, you know." He's got to go through all this rigmarole to figure out your health. But it's very clear just from a Vedic astrology chart.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing stuff. Before we wrap up our program, and as you certainly know, being on the program as many times as you have, this program does have its own evolutionary process. And so There are questions that I love to ask my guests. I wanted to get into a particular area, which we don't have time to this time, but one of these days I want to delve a little more deeply into David Hawthorne and what makes him tick, as it were. But suffice it to say, the question that I will leave you with right now to have you respond to, who is David Hawthorne? You have about 3.5 minutes.
Well, number one, it's a name that goes with the body that I'm carrying around with me.
Okay.
There's that answer, I guess. But I really don't know if I understand your question.
Well, I think that my question is coming more from a standpoint of when I ask the question, what does the individual think of themselves? And some people will list off their job title and their various positions within relationships, mother, wife, secretary, or ditch digger, whatever the case may be, or astrologer. And then some others will basically respond with not quite the same words as you've used. I like what you said in terms of, that's the name that's been given to the body that I'm traveling around in. I like that. That's very good. It's more along the lines of trying to understand ourselves, and what you're doing with Vedic astrology is helping us to understand who we are. I mean, that was the reason why you delved into it as deeply as you have, is because of those questions that you had about your formative years and how is that going to impact your future with your wife and your children and your work and your play and so on and so forth. So those are the kinds of directions that I'm looking at as far as a question like that. Who is? I remember myself going through a wonderful bunch of personal growth programs back in the early 80s. And I remember they gave us, each one of us participants, a name at the beginning. And interestingly enough, I'm not ashamed to say that at that time in my life, because of the way that where I was, they labeled me the Prince of Darkness. And I was like, what in the world? Well, by the end of the program, which was like 5 days later, that was gone. And it was more where I was at that moment. And my life has not been like that. But it was where I was at the time when I went through that program. And so when I look at that question now for myself, I am a very joyful person, an optimistic person, a creative person. And I want what's best for everybody. I want you to succeed, and I want our listeners to succeed, and I want to succeed. And by working together, we all can. We can all make our lives an incredibly joyous experience here on this planet. And you've done that every time you've come on this program to share with us, and I thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Richard.
And people can get a hold of you through your website, astroview.com?
Correct.
And your email address?
David@astroview.com.
Easy enough. Mention that you heard about us on the program, about David on the program. And,
yes, I would give a discount courtesy fee to those who called in from your show.
Wonderful. Again, David@astroview.com. Astroview.com is the website. David Hawthorne's my guest, and the title of the book, Astrology for Life, How to Become Your Own Vedic Astrologer. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be back next Saturday at this same time. Until then, love to